We're doing Igeret Iman. We're holding page Kuf Mem Dalid in the Rambam Lam edition. And the Rambam, in the second section of Igeret Iman, the Rambam was dealing with the different claims that the Muslims claim against Judaism, and the different textual references that they want to say are allusions to Muhammad. And they want to say that they're support. So the Rambam already dealt with many of them. And the Rambam already said that almost everyone knows that they're ridiculous. Even the Muslims themselves know that these claims don't have validity. But nonetheless, I'm going to illustrate how they really have no validity. And now the Rambam is leading up to a bigger argument. And he says at the top of page Kuf Mem Daled, Aval ha-ra'ya she'hem mevi'im, but the proof that they bring, from that which it says in the Torah, Navi mikir becha me'achecha kamoni, yakim lecha Hashem elokecha, elav tishma'un. The Torah says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, God will establish for you a prophet like me, and listen to him. That's a wrong volume. Yeah. Kuf Mem Dalet, 144. So, the Amalta, and you said, you Rav Plimo, who's writing this letter, you said, Shemiktzatam istapek lehem zeh, some of them think that this verse is a source for doubt. Umiktzatam istalek mehem asafek beomho mikir becha. And some of them say, no, that's not a reference to Muhammad. When God says, I will establish for you a prophet from within you that will be just like me, Moshe Rabbeinu says, that the fact that he said from within you, from within the Jewish people, that's indicative that it is not a reference to Muhammad. The pasuk clearly states that God will establish a prophet from within the Jewish people who will be like Moshe Rabbeinu. So some had this verse and that caused them doubt. And others said, no, the verse clearly indicates that it's not Muhammad. Velulei milat mikil becha me'achecha, and if not for the words that God will establish a prophet from within you, from your brothers, hayta zot lachem l'ra'ya b'makom hazeh, they think that there would be a good proof from this, if not for the fact that the verse states it will be from within the Jewish people. Yesh lecha lechaven sich lecha, so the Rambam says to the rabbi who is writing to, he says, you should focus, shetit bonen b'mash omalach. Take a good look at what I'm about to tell you, the Rambam says. Da, I want you to know, shelo ya'avor l'shum adam, lakachat mila achat me'inyan shekulo davek, u'mitchaber, liyot lo lirayav lismoch aleh. The Rambam says you should know that it's no one would entertain a thought that if you want to bring a proof to something, you can take words out of context and say that's going to be a proof. That's ridiculous, says the Rambam. Aval ra'uy lo, but what's fitting is if you want to bring a proof, what you have to do is le'ayen, to look into b'ma shekadam min ha'inyan u'ma she'acharav. See what the context is. What does the Torah say before and after? And this, by the way, is the refutation for all claims of missionaries. If you're ever approached by a missionary, all you have to do is take the text, see the context, and almost always on the surface you already see that their claim is ridiculous. Sometimes you'll have to learn a little bit more depth to understand it. But almost always, I'd say 90% of the claims are refutable just from the text itself, once you see the context. Yeah?
Wouldn't it be advisable just not to speak to them at all?
Yeah, no one's recommending talking to them. Here, the Rambam's writing this letter to the Jews in Yemen, where there's forced conversion going on, and the Jews, the Rambam's strengthening them and pointing out to them that there's no logical validity to the claims of the Muslims. Yeah?
Two things. One, did they wind up converting in the end?
Some did, some didn't.
It seems also sometimes the Chazal does the same thing, where they're taking things kind of out of context and use them as proofs, like in the Gemara especially. Like, one story in particular that I'm thinking of is Tanur
Shelach Nai?
Yeah, I think so. Where in the very end, one of the sages says, like, Lo Vashemayimni. It's very out of context.
So, in each instance, we'd have to analyze it. And even in that instance, if you look at it again, I'm not sure you'll feel about it. If it's still bothering you, we could deal with it. But look at it. And sometimes we say that, you know what, let's leave it. You're asking a question about Chazal's drashos. It's a valid question. We have to analyze it. We have to learn the rules. We have 33 rules of inference, 32 rules of inference as to how we darshan psukim. Aside from the 13 laws of inference, there are another 32. We have to learn them. They're laws of logic. And then we have to see how we apply them and how they work logically. Rav Pesen Zatzal, who I'm merited to learn by, he compiled a work in which he showed how the laws of inference that the Talmud uses are used in modern law. These laws are used as laws of logic in interpreting modern law in the legal system. So Rav Katzenelm Bogin Zatzal wrote a work called Halichot HaShemayim, in which he showed how all the laws of inference are based in laws of logic. Also, similar concept. So we have to really sit down and analyze what each law is and how our sages really derived from the verse. To speak about such a big subject in global terms is going to be a little problematic. But we definitely do have to take each case and analyze it and see how they arrive at that. And we also have to have, if we'd have time, we'd have to have an introductory class just learning what are the laws of inference and how do we apply them. I agree with you. It's a subject that needs to be explored. Klomar, as if to say, says the Rambam, Shiyayen mitchilat amila hi shesamach aleha, they should look firstly at those words or that word which he was relying on. Mitchilat inyanat sheyashlim ha'inyan. Begin from the beginning of the subject and read throughout till the end of the subject. Ve'az, and then, yeda kavanat omer ha'inyan. He'll know what the person meant to say. You can't take things out of context, says the Rambam. They're trying to take this verse, pull it out of the context and say, oh, it's a reference to Muhammad. Well, the Rambam says, wait a second, let's look at the context and then let's see if there's any logical basis for that. You think the Rambam is writing to the rabbi in Yemen that the whole reason why we don't accept this proof is because it says from within your brethren. And I'll show you, says the Rambam, that even without that, the context itself says that that's not what the verse is referring to. Okay, fine. I don't think we find that the Arabs are referred to as our brethren. At best, we find that Edom is referred to as our brother, the people of Edom. But the Muslims not. But anyways, let's see. Ve'en ro'i l'shum adam lakacht raya. Our tradition is that whenever it says there are certain words that are used in Tanakh, and achecha would be one of them, that's specifically a reference to a Jew. We say achecha means not only a Jew, but a Jew who is like your brother, ach means connection, ichui is to put the two things together. So we say that achecha is a reference to a Jew who is fulfilling the mitzvot of the Torah. Not only any Jew, he has to have those that trait too. With your permission, says the Rambam, ve'en ra'oi l'shum adam lakach traya midavar muchrat, ma'asher lefanav u'ma'asher l'achrav. And it is not fitting that any person should take a proof from something that is detached from the context that preceded it and followed it. Ve'ilu haya ze over. And if it were possible to bring a proof just from words without the context, so now the Rambam is going to give a few funny proofs. He's going to quote verses from the Torah and say, look, you just take out two words from the verse and the Torah tells you to do something which we know is antithetical to the keeping of the Torah. So then the Rambam says, "Kamochen roi lomar." So then we would also be able to say, if we could take things out of context, "Shakadosh baruch hu hiziranu shelo nishma min hanavi," that God warned us, don't you ever listen to a prophet. Why? Because we'll take the verse out of context. "Shekenu umer," the verse says, "Lo tishma al divrei hanavi," don't listen to the words of the prophet. So if you read the context, it says, if a false prophet arises, tries to convince you to serve other gods, don't listen to that prophet, he's a false prophet, you shouldn't listen to him. But says the Rambam, if we're going to go with this way of analysis, that you can take any verse and take it out of context, so you have a verse that says, don't listen to the prophet. And in this mistaken way, we would also be able to say, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Tzivanu, that God command us, Lavod Avodah Zarah, Chas V'Chalila, that God forbid, God command us to serve idols. Sheken Ktiv, because you see the verse says, when God says, if you don't keep the Torah, God says, then you'll be exiled, and over there you'll be forced to serve other gods and bow to them. So if we just take out the words, you will serve other gods and bow to them, that seems to be, if we take it out of context, so here you have a commandment. God says, go serve other gods and bow to them. So that's what the Rambam's doing. He's bringing funny examples where if you take it out of context, you get a commandment that's completely the antithesis of what the Torah tells us. Chicken k'tiv, because you see the verse says, "Va'avatem elokim achrim ishtachavitem lahem." You'll serve other gods, you bow to them. There are many examples like this. And the Rambam says this is obvious, that this is nonsense. We don't take a proof from any pasuk, under any circumstance, until we know what the point is from beginning to end, then you can understand what the Torah is telling you. But you can't take something out of context. That pasuk hazeh, and this verse that they want to bring as a proof that the Torah was referring to a prophet arising, they claim Muhammad, and he would bring us a new way of living. So this verse that says, Navi mikirbecha me'achecha kamoni, that there will arise a prophet from within your brethren like me, ra'uy la'amod al mashel fanav v'shel acharav mimashu davek la'inyan. It's fitting that we will first analyze what the context, what precedes that verse, and what comes after that verse. Kedei sheyuvan, so that we understand that verse, v'lo yisha'er bo safek b'shum panim, and we remove all doubt in understanding this verse. Uve'ur ha'davar, and the explanation is as follows. Sheuzharnu b'tchilat ha'parsha, that the beginning of that parsha warns us, mili'tasek b'ksamim uvimoninim, God warns us, don't you go to sorcery, don't you go to different forms of witchcraft, ubchokhmat hakochavim, ubichshavim, ubachavarim vadomelem. Don't go to astrologers, tarot cards, don't go to all the different types of fortune tellers, soothsayers that try to tell you what the future is going to be. Bidvarim elu shechushvot haumot, shebahem yuchlu ladat ha'atidot, kodem sheitchadshu, umitkavnot aleihem. All these different things that people think they could foresee the future, and they think they could foretell what's going to be, God warns us, don't go that route. Uchsheiziranu yitvarech, and when God, blessed be, warned us, militasek bidvarim elu, from dealing with these things, amalanu, God told us, shekol haumot choshvot, that all the nations think, sheyodot ma sheyitchadesh kodem sheyitchadesh. They all think they have an angle on figuring out what the future holds for them. Something along these lines. In those days, every nation had some kind of astrologer, magician, warlock, someone who would foretell what the future held. Ve'ata, but you, God tells the Jewish people, lo teda mizeh haderech mashatid liyot. You will not know the future through this way. Aval teda oto, but how will you know the future? Al yedei navi, through a prophet. She'akim lachem, that I will establish for you, lo diachem ha'atidot, to foretell for you the futures. The yamnu dvarav, and the prophet's words will be validated, ve'lo yechta, and he won't err, v'chol mashiyumar, and everything he says. When the prophet tells us, tomorrow it's going to rain, and the nation of Edom will attack, and in the middle of their attack they're going to fall, so if tomorrow the nation of Edom attacks, and there's a miracle and they fall, but it didn't rain, the prophet is put to death. False prophecy. But the major miracle he said that would happen, that did occur. Yeah, but there's a detail missing from his prophecy. We say God tells the Jewish people when it comes to a prophet, everything he says has to be 100%. If he was off, then he's not a real prophet. Even though he might have said 10 miracles will happen. He says tomorrow in the middle of the day, the sun will set, the moon will rise, 10 goats will land from heaven, 3 people will fly to heaven, and in the middle, I'm going to cough. Okay, everything happens, but he doesn't cough. So, okay, but all the miracles I said happened. Yeah, but you're off on one. A prophet has to be 100% exact. So, God tells the Jewish people that we don't have to look to all these different ways of figuring out the future. Aval teda oto, but the way we'll know the future is through a prophet that God will establish for us to foretell the future. V'yamnu dvarav, and his words will be validated. V'lo yechta b'chol ma sheyomar. And he won't be off on anything he says. V'tiyu yodim ha'atid li'itchadesh, and you'll know the future that's about to happen, kodem she'itchadesh, before it happens, mibli ksamim, without magic, v'chavarim, or other forms of magic, u'me'en din ha'kochavim v'zulatam, and without going to the stars, or all these other ways of trying to figure out the future. You will know the future, God says, without needing all these things. And after, God tells us that God clarified that this thing that will have a prophet will be within our midst without our hard work. And God told us that any prophet God sends us to foretell the future for the Jewish people will be a prophet that comes from our midst. So you don't have to go from city to city to find the prophet, but rather God will help the Jewish people, and from within their midst He will grow prophets from them, for them. God will ensure that we don't have to go a great distance after the prophet. That's what the verse is saying, that God will give you a prophet from within your midst. God is saying you'll have a gift. You don't have to go out to the Himalayas. You don't have to go to the Dalai Lama. God will make you a Navi from within your midst, within your towns. You're going to have prophets.
How does the Rambam know this? Just drawing from the context?
I don't know why the Rambam says that Mikir Becha specifically is this understanding. I don't know. And after this, God let us know another thing. The Amar, God said, and when He is close, He is from you, from within your midst, and He will be from you as well. He will be a Jew. So that this elevated stature that you have prophets will be singular to you. Vihi, and that is Ladat Mayye, to have a true knowledge of what the future holds. That, God says, is a special gift I give to you. Ulefichach, and therefore, Hosif Bamaamar, the Torah added and said, Kamoni, God said, you will have a prophet like me, Moshe says. Someone specifically, a Jew for the Jews, that's the prophets that God promises He will send. Shema ya'ale al datcha, maybe you'll think, ho'ilu chtiv me'achecha, being that the verse says, God will establish a prophet from your brethren, yitachin liot me'esav u'mishmael, like Adam asked. Maybe your brethren, God says, I'll establish a prophet from your brethren, so maybe that refers to our cousins, Edom and Yishmael. For we find, with reference to Esav, the Torah says, Ko amar achicha Yisrael, the Jewish people approached Esav and said, so said your brother Israel. So we see, with regard to Esav, the Jews call themselves his brothers. Lefichach, therefore, because one might entertain the thought that when Moshe said, I will establish a prophet from your brethren, that's a reference to our cousins. So that's why Moshe had to add and say, Lefichach utzrach lomal, therefore Moshe had to say, Kamoni, like me, klomar, as if to say, Mibnei Yaakov, he'll be like me, as if to say, he'll be a Jew like me from the offsprings of Yaakov. Ve'en kamoni bechan, and over here when it says kamoni, like me, it doesn't mean liot kamo b'malat hanvua, that he'll be like Moshe, that he'll have that level of prophecy. Shekvar amar, because the Torah already attests, ve'lokam naviyod b'Yisrael kemoshe. There never arose a prophet among Israel that was like Moshe. And that verse that says there was no prophet like Moshe, that's really in the parsha that we said. That also attests to that. Amar, the parsha says, Lo imatze v'cha ma'avir b'no v'ito ba'esh, kosem k'samim, me'onen u'mnachesh u'mchashef, וחובר חבר, ושואלו וידוני, ודורש אל המתים, תמים תהיה עם השם אלוקיך. ואתה לא כן, נתן לך השם אלוקיך, נביא מקרבך מאחיך כמוני. The Rambam now just summarized the verses. This was all a quote. The Torah says over there in that parsha, there shall not be found amongst you a person who passes his son and daughter through fire as a form of idol worship. Nor shall there be found among the Jewish people a person who does one kind of witchcraft, another kind of witchcraft, a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh, an eighth type of witchcraft, a way of trying to figure out the future. These are all enumerations of different ways that people used to seek the dead or do other things to figure out what the future is going to hold. All of these different forms are prohibited in the Torah. Tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha, you should be whole with Hashem your God. The other nations, they go to all these warlocks to figure out the future. But you, you're not that way. God will establish for you a prophet like me. That's where Moshe says God will establish a prophet like me. After he has said, don't go to all these warlocks. The nations, they go to the warlocks. You don't go to the warlocks. God will give you a prophet like me. That's the context. Hinei hitba'er v'hitamit. Behold, it has been clarified and verified. Shehanavi hazeh shehivtiach b'makom hazeh. That this prophet that God promises in this place in the Torah. Einon navi sheyavo b'mitzvah. It's not a prophet that's going to come and give us new commandments. V'lo yechadesh Torah. He's not going to invent a new religion. God says, you'll want to know the future? You don't have to go to all these warlocks like the nations do. You want to know the future? You'll have a prophet that'll tell you the future. God isn't saying, I'll send you a prophet to give you new commandments. I'll send you a prophet that'll give you a new religion. Aval hu ish. But what is the purpose of this prophet that the Torah is referring to? Shelo yatzichenu liksamim velimoninim ul chochmat hakochavim. That because he helps us in knowing what to expect in the future, we won't need all these different forms of witchcraft. V'nishal mimenu, will be able to ask this prophet, Masha yehalanu, what's going to happen to us? K'mo sha'umot sha'alim lamonim lakosmim, just as the nations ask their warlocks. Sheken matzanu, sha'ul sheshal shmuel al aveda sha'avdalo. And the Rambam says, this might seem strange to you, that you go to a prophet in order to ask about mundane things, what's going to be? The Rambam says, we find it in Tanakh. Sha'ul, his father, loses his mules, and when they've given up searching for the mules, they say, let's go ask the prophet, he'll tell us where the mules are. So we see that part of the job that the prophet had was to help people deal with mundane things, knowing what's doing in the world.
Question. So you can draw out the meaning of the pasuk from its context. Is that to say that there aren't pasukim that stand on their own in their meaning? Like the pasuk that says, then maybe that, I'm just guessing, maybe that pasuk means what it means just on itself, whether
we're
in another place.
I think that there are times that we have to say that the psukim seem to stand alone. You go through Parshas Kedoshim, so you have an enumeration of over 100 mitzvot. The Torah says, "Lo tekalel chiresh," don't curse a deaf person. "Nifnever lo titen michshol," don't put a stumbling block before a blind person. No, that's the end of an aliyah. Don't desecrate your daughter to send her to prostitution. That's the next verse. Keep my Shabbos. What's the connection? We just said four commandments, one after the other in the Torah. What's the connection? So there do seem to be parshiot where the verses seem to be detached from one another. Take Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments, you can find some common theme between them. But you also read the Ten Commandments. They said definitely seem to be separate. Lo tirtach, lo tinaf, lo tigzol, lo tanev recha et shav. What's the connection? Don't murder, don't steal, don't testify falsely. Don't do bad things. Okay. That's the five between man and man. But it's not really, it doesn't seem like the context is going to explain to me. And even there, we say it does explain. We say that, if the other five, if the other Ten Commandments, if the others of the Ten Commandments are commandments that a person gets a death penalty for, so then when the Torah says don't steal, it must mean not just the thievery of a pen, of a monetary something, some asset, but rather it means don't kidnap. It's something that you get the death penalty for. So even there we do look at the context, but on a lesser level. We have a rule of Hekesh and Smuchim. If two concepts are written in one verse, so then we say, then the Torah didn't just put them together in one verse when they're totally detached. There must be a hekesh. The pasuk came to say there's a similarity between them. Then we have the concept of hekesh can appear differently. Sometimes the Torah says, and just like I told you about this, do over here. When the Torah says that... that does it. I think about Meiser Behema, it says. Meiser Behema? No. Okay, I don't remember. Sometimes the Torah says the laws of this animal are like this animal, or the laws of this are like that. The Torah itself says they're similar. That's also hekesh. But then we have times that you have two psukim, one next to the other, and they seem to have nothing to do with one another. Yeah. Then we say they're smuchim, that the Torah juxtaposed both of them to teach me that there are going to be similarities halachically. So even there we see that Chazal did give importance to the context. But definitely to a lesser level. It's difficult to say that you can understand one from the other.
And is the Ramban negating Islam in this? Is Islam based on this pretext that Muhammad is their Nabi or something and care about this way?
So what the Ramban isn't coming to tell them that the Muslims should stop being Muslims. That's not the Rambam's purpose here. The Rambam's saying we're taking for granted that we understand that the Torah is true. And in the Rambam's first chapter, he explained that the Muslims found a new way of attacking Judaism. There were those who tried philosophically. There were those who tried militarily. And then the Muslims put both together. They came with philosophical claims, and at the same time they came militarily. They said either accept our religion or get killed, and our religion is true based on the Torah. They tried to bring claims that from the Torah we have support. If you believe in the Torah, then our religion doesn't contradict the Torah. The Torah foretells that this religion will come to the world.
So the Rambam think the religion is not?
The Rambam is saying their religion has no basis in the Torah. The Torah precludes their religion. And for us, their religion is wrong. Whether their religion is wrong for them is a different question. The Rambam is dealing with the Jews. He's saying, for you, this is not right. And the fact that they're making claims that there are sources in the Torah that indicate that their religion is correct, that the Rambam is saying is not so. Now, does that mean that they shouldn't be Muslim? The Rambam isn't discussing them at this point.
Does he discuss that in a later point?
He discusses it, but if I'm not mistaken, not in this letter. He discusses it in other places.
Just historically, weren't the Christians, didn't the Christians bring militarily and theological things together to try and convince us more than the
The Rambam spoke about them. He spoke about them as well. Much of it was after his time, though. Those attempts, the Crusades and the Inquisitions.
Was it not during his lifetime, the Crusades? At least partially.
Started. The Rambam passed away 1130, no? Or 1030. The Rambam passed away 1030. If I'm not mistaken, the Rambam passed away 1030. 1030. Now the Rambam is going to refer to specific prophets that the Muslims believe in, and it's unclear. The footnote over here tries to figure out which of the prophets he's referring to by this name. Aval shelona amin binvuat Zaid ve'Amr, but that we shouldn't believe in the Muslim so-called prophets named Zaid and Amr. En ze bishvish she'inam Yisrael. The reason we don't believe in them isn't because they weren't Jewish. Kmo shechoshvim ha'amon. That, like the masses think that the reason we don't accept these Muslim prophets is because they weren't Jewish. That we need this proof from the verse that says, from with your midst, from your brethren. We say that Job and his four friends were all prophets. Even though they weren't Jewish, Job wasn't Jewish and his four friends weren't Jewish. And all five of them had a revelation of prophecy at the end of the book, and we hold them all to be prophets. So the reason we don't accept these Muslim prophets isn't because they weren't Jewish. V'chein Hananiah ben Azur, and so too we find in the book of Jeremiah, Hananiah ben Azur, Nevi Sheker, he was a false prophet, V'apat Bishum Yisrael, even though he was a Jew. So you could have Jews that are false prophets, and you could have non-Jews that are true prophets. Aval na'amin b'navi o'nachisheyu mitzad nevuato. We believe in a prophet, or we don't believe in a prophet. That depends on what he has to say, not depending on where, what his lineage, what his genealogy is. So now the Rambam is going to enter the concept of having faith, believing a prophet, Why is it that we believe a prophet? And why is it that we won't believe a prophet when he tries to contradict the Torah of Moshe? Why don't we say, well, Moshe was a prophet, and this guy's also a prophet. So why is Moshe more powerful? So the Rambam is going to first give us the basics for why we believe a prophet to begin with. And then the Rambam is going to go on to discussing why is it that if a prophet contradicts the Torah, we don't accept his words. The question is, I think we'll pause here, or because the next section, we have to go through the whole section. That'll take us a half hour. So we're going to pause here until next week. Is that the same?